Triple M's ruined dits for breakfast. From Adelaide to around the world, the top three things you need to know.
Our first vaccinations are here, Roo. They're under, what, refrigeration they are, I think, at Flinders and...
Minus 70.
Yeah, minus 70. On Monday, these will get wheeled out for frontline workers, won't they?
That's right. We've got 12,000 people going to get jabbed in the first 3 weeks.
At least 4,000 doses of vaccine due to arrive in our state on the weekend.
This is the largest logistical exercise, peacetime exercise in the history of Australia.
The state government aiming to have 12,000 people vaccinated in the following 3 weeks.
So that was on Channel 9 News last night. 1,700 on Monday. These are frontline workers, people that work at the airport, health workers, those types of people, people that are in the quarantine hotels. Yeah, they'll be the first lot to get these jabs.
Yep, good news. We've heard about cars going up in value. We had a Holden Ute for a million. Then we've had a GTHO Phase 3 Ford for 1.15 million sold the last couple of days. It's gone up a notch, Dits. There's a Bugatti, which is a top range car, 1937 in London. Mm. Just been hadn't been seen for 50 years. This car.
Yeah.
Have a guess.
Well,
it's higher than 1.15.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, 1.18.
Much higher.
Much higher. 3 million.
Higher.
4.
Higher.
What? Well, how much?
Between 9 and 12.5 mil.
You're joking. For a car?
For a Bugatti. Looks pretty cool.
Hell.
Convertible.
Has it been serviced? Is it under warranty?
Oh, it's got new tyres.
Bloody
one
hell.
Lady owner. Country case. So there you go. If you got the lazy 10 million and you want to buy a nice car, check it out online at the moment. There's been a bit of talk around about the AFL and concussion and a new potential $2 billion fund they're going to want to create to potentially compensate players who get concussion effects into the future. This is an idea that's been put to the AFL. It's not the AFL's idea. And it would cost $25 million a year as a premium to do it, to get the $2 billion. And they're saying that or the suggestion to the AFL by Peter Jess, who's a leading player manager and sort of advocate for concussion protection, says that they just charge the punters.
So pass it on to the paying public that come through the gates. I suppose it's the only way you can raise it.
Well, unless the AFL pay for it.
Yeah, but a lot of money, isn't
money.
It?
A lot of moolah.
Yeah.
So,
how many people go through the gates per year? Do you know that off the top of your head?
Oh, no. But
I mean, if you charged $1 per person or something.
10 million members.
Yeah.
It's only $2 or $3.
Yeah. So why don't they start small? This is my suggestion. Go for 10 million a year then. Just charge $1 a person. None of us will really notice it, and it goes towards, because we in a way, maybe we should pay for it. We love to go and cheer our players on week in, week out. We want them to go in hard. We want them to play physical footy. So maybe the paying public has some sort of responsibility here.
Yep.
So maybe they charge us $1 a head every time we go.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Well, it wouldn't have to be every time you go. It'd only have to be on your membership. If it's 10,000 members and you only need $20 million a year, it's $2 for the year.
Yeah.
Kibish.
I'm talking per week though.
Yeah, but that'd be too much money.
No, but if you do it, if you amortise it so that it's $1 per time you go, you're not really going to notice it, are you?
No, but you're going to raise a lot more money than you need.
Okay.
Which you can do if you want. No, I have the rest.
No, I thought you said it was 10 million.
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah.
And there's 10 million members.
Mm-hmm.
25 million into 10 million is...
And what I'm saying is, surely raising 10 million a year wouldn't that cover it as opposed to 25 a year?
Let's move until on. You build up, off air.
No, until you build up your bank or not.
You only need 25 million a year.
Yeah. Well, I'm just anyway. All right. We'll move on.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll.
Because this comes into this category. Do you know eating chocolate can make you smarter?
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you eat a lot of
chocolate?
I should
be a genius. That's right. And the other one, if you read on, it says, these are called flavanols, whatever they are. They're a plant nutrient. They're found in cocoa, which is what makes chocolate, tea, red wine, and I've been eating a lot of berries lately as well, so berries as well.
Berries.
I should be a Rhodes Scholar.
Beautiful.
So keep eating chocolate.
All right.
That's the that's what I take
doesn't
out of
Alice eat a lot of chocolate?
She does.
Yeah, this is good.
Look, there's always an outlier in every study, isn't there?
Definitely an outlier. Yeah.
Anyway, total attendees, there you go. Alice the Wag, who's just she just came through 2019, but that was a bad example, 2019. 6,951,000.
Why was it
people.
A bad example?
Oh, 2020 was a bad example, you just said, of course. So 2019 is a normal year, 6.9 million.
So it'd be $4 a year, $3 a year.
Yeah. All right. Ruined it here on Triple M.
We did finally work out what we're talking about, Ford. To raise 25 million, there's 6.9 million people that go through the gate. So if they put in about $3.50 roughly, we'd get the 25.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to get to.
It's time for the Statman. Statman. Here's another stat. B Frank Insurance goes above and beyond 100%. B Frank, more than just insurance.
Gee, I gave Cranky Frankie a lead yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
Bit of business.
Yeah, well, you keep telling me how bloody good he is.
He is. He gets the job done.
All right. Well, let's hope he does. Here's the stat for the Statman. You are most likely to die on which day of the year?
I find this extraordinary.
What?
I know.
What is it?
It's unbelievable.
Okay. Gee whiz. You are most likely to die on which day of the year? What is it? 133353. How long have we been doing Statman for?
Oh, good question.
A year or so, too.
I don't know. That's a stat we should know.
Yeah, good stat. Hey, I reckon this is one of the weirdest sort of intriguing questions we've had on Statman.
It is.
Which is, you are most likely to die on which day of the year? This gets your mind racing, doesn't it?
Yep.
What is it? 133353 for a Google Home Mini. Let's go to Evanston. G'day, Timmy.
How you going, boys?
Good.
What do you think it was, Tim?
Yeah.
1st of January.
New Year's Day.
Yeah,
because you have a belter the night before.
You hope you wake up, don't you?
I wake up feeling like I've nearly died.
Sorry, Tim.
We woke up at Port Augusta one day on New Year's Day. It was 53 degrees up there on the board, and we had no aircon.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hot northerly. And oh, no. I felt like dying on that day. Let's go to Burton. G'day, Travis.
Hey.
Hey.
What do you think it is, Travis?
Oh, I reckon it's a Friday.
A Friday?
Yep.
Oh, no. Best start of the week, Friday.
On a Friday. Yeah. I'm up and about. I'd die on a Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff at the start of the week. Let's go to Fulham. G'day, Lynn.
G'day.
G'day, Lynn. What day of the week would you like to cark it on?
Oh, look, because you guys are so surprised, I'm going to roll with Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
No.
No, wouldn't that ruin Christmas?
What? Yes, get stuck in the chimney or something.
Well, you know, some families get a bit out of control.
Oh, I know.
Just sit Lynn in the chair in the corner there till tomorrow.
Keep her alive, will you?
Yeah.
You can die on Boxing
Day.
Don't
want it to happen on Christmas
Day.
Yeah,
don't do it on Christmas Day. We've got to eat the turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to Greenwith. G'day, Chris.
Morning, boys.
What day do you want to die on?
Would it be your birthday?
You're right.
That's what it is.
I don't believe
it. I know. This. That's incredible.
Who writes these questions?
Josh. It's the only job he does for us.
Yeah,
but he must be right.
Well,
he does his research.
We'll double check him at 7 o'clock. Don't worry about that.
All right. So there you go, Chris. You have won a Google Home Mini. Well done, mate.
Cheers.
You can wake up and play Ruined Its, please.
Curb your enthusiasm there, Chris. All thanks to B Frank Insurance.
You know what? It's probably his birthday.
Oh, could be. Yeah. Try and get through the day.
Get through the day,
mate. You've got another 20-odd hours to last if you can.
That's going to be our running joke now if anyone rings in.
It's their birthday.
Yeah, careful.
More likely to die.
Careful.
Yeah.
Have
eyes in the back of your head today, mate.
Don't be careful driving your car.
All thanks to B Frank Insurance. They go and get insured. In fact, get death insurance, life insurance. Yeah. B Frank Insurance goes above and beyond 100%.
Bit of key man.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, favourite part of the week. Let's get him on. How are you, Rudy?
I'm very well indeed. Hello to you, Dits. Hello to you, Ruin, everybody listening to Triple M in Adelaide.
Very good.
Rudy, we have a few troubles with a few ICs. I know you get stuff stolen out of your ute. Did you see the news yesterday about Scott Miller, former Olympic silver medal butterfly swimmer?
Absolutely. He took bronze and silver in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Scott Miller, he was married to Charlotte Dawson, the late Charlotte Dawson, for a very short and well-publicised marriage. Mm-hmm. I think he had to take an AVO out against Charlotte in the end.
Yeah.
And it just adds to my growing case against swimming. Swimming is a sport that makes people lose their minds.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the roll call. Thorpe, disorientated into rehab in 2014. Jeff Hugel, arrested coming out of the disabled toilets at Randwick with an alleged white substance on him. Grant Hackett smashed a grand piano, wore a singlet as underpants, disorientated in the foyer of a plush hotel before getting on board a Virgin flight and nipple-crippling someone. Tracy Vickham walked with a frame after taking a severe fall and is claiming to be homeless at the moment. I mean, swimming is a terrible sport where prepubescent people are woken up early in the morning and flogged in heavily chlorinated public pools for our lust for Olympic gold. It is child abuse. And I say to your parent, any parents listening today, smash your above-ground pool, throw the budgie smugglers in the bin, pop the floaties, because your kid will start following the black line and end up snorting the white one. So
that's a fair spray. That's good.
Swimming is a disgrace. It's for fish. All you're meant to do is stand waist deep down at Glenelg, hopefully not get taken by a shark, get out and have a couple of Coopers and go home.
Are you reviewing swimming today, or you got something
there you
else?
Go. You throw a subject at me and I'll tee off on it. Swimming is a disgraceful sport. And, you know, you can become an Olympic champion and still have no muscle definition. What kind of a sport is that? And where you end up being a dolphin-shouldered softy that can, you know, why? Why,
and why would you want to swim in everyone else's urine?
And absolutely. And there's only, if you fall off a boat, Dits, and the boat takes off and it doesn't know, you know, where you are and you can see the shoreline, what stroke are you using?
Not butterfly.
Butterfly?
No.
Who is ever taking themselves to safety with butterfly? Or breaststroke? Yeah. No. In between screaming for help, it's freestyle.
What TV show are you reviewing today, Rudy, other than
Olympic swimming? No, as fun as it is killing off shows that are alive and well, this week I thought I'd have a crack at pulling the plug on a show that is already in a critical condition and an induced coma.
What is
the
it?
The Chase Australia.
Oh,
now I watch this before the news each night.
I have enjoyed The Chase myself. Bam, bam. I lied. I can't enjoy it. It's a noisy bunch of nonsense. But at first I hoped that Chase Australia, when I first sat down to watch it, would be a police body cam footage of Andrew O'Keefe being chased through Randwick at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That would be a good chase.
But was disappointed to find another lame quiz show we pinched from the Soap Dodgers.
Yeah.
Soap Dodgers being Poms.
Yeah,
of course you know that.
Yeah.
And hello to all of our English listeners in Adelaide.
Thanks for the UK strain.
Thanks for the UK strain. The UK strain is interesting because it's kind of contradictory. It's a very active strain that doesn't mind doing a hard day's work. It still arrives here without a visa. Anyway, for those lucky enough to be unfamiliar with the chase, the premise is four morons forming a team of challengers to take on the chaser. The chaser is one of the rotating cast of freaks that Channel 7 wheel out to show off their quizzing skills. It is the last kind of circus freak show allowed on television. They don't have a bearded lady, though, which I think is a problem for the show. They answer rapid-fire questions while in between rounds trying not to be visibly cringing at Andrew O'Keefe's horrendous jokes. Now, the chasers include, I don't know whether you know this, but there's Goliath, the shark, the super nerd, the governess, and the beast.
The beast.
Now, I assume the beast got his nickname because he's 6'6" and an obese eyesore.
Mm.
But it could be also because in real life, at 53 years of age, he married his 26-year-old cousin.
Ooh.
Oh,
did you know
what?
That?
No.
Yes, and that marriage has since failed.
Scandal.
Surprise, surprise. The beast indeed. What
Grandma,
a guy.
Grandma stepped in and said, you can't do this.
No, you can't do that. At least the beast found someone to share a bed with. No such luck for the other broken losers. They're just wasting their time answering easy questions to steal money off mouth breathers. Watching the Chase Australia made me wish that I was lying hogtied and bloodied in the boot of a Commodore, screaming down the Hume Highway, except I wouldn't kick out a tail light and signal for help. Because I'd get rescued, and then there'd be a chance I might accidentally see another second episode of this excremental rubbish. I hate it.
Oh,
goodbye.
No. How many stars, Rudy?
It hasn't got stars. Oh. Andrew's gone, and so is this show. Never be seen the light of day again.
See you, Rudy.
See you, Rudy.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, very, very bold
plan,
if you like. Yes, by the Port Adelaide Football Club, but I like it. It's called Chasing Greatness, and you've heard a bit about it. 3 flags in 5 years, 100,000 members. They want to be debt-free, but I think it's great. Get on the front foot and be loud and proud. And the man who made the announcement, the brand-new CEO, well, he's sort of brand-new. He's been there a little while now, Matthew Richardson. How are you, Richo?
Really well, Dits. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good.
Whose idea was it to have the 5-year plan? Is this you as a new CEO, or is it a board initiative?
Yeah, look, I think, Roo, it was probably a plan that unfolded through as we're dealing with the challenge of 2020, and as we sort of worked through that, our collective mindset as a club became, you know, how do we use COVID as an opportunity to build a competitive advantage coming out the other end? And then, I mean, I think, you know, a strategic vision is, it's an ambitious picture of the future. What are we aiming for? And as Ditz knows really well, you've got to be bold, and it's got to embrace the expectation. You know, we're not aiming to be good. We're chasing greatness. And, you know, I think if you look in the AFL era, we would say that on-field greatness is probably Brisbane into Geelong into Hawthorn and now Richmond. So it's about, you know, winning multiple times. And then off field, it's, you know, we've got to be, Port Adelaide's a big club. We've always had a big club mindset. So it's about growth commercially and in terms of members and supporters. Really importantly, we've got a really exciting vision for the redevelopment of the Albert and Oval precinct, which, you know, sets our teams up with high performance facilities, and that's both AFL and AFLW in the next few years, hopefully. And if we get all that right, reducing our debt is the final piece.
So when is the plan to do the redevelopment down there? It looks sensational, the development. It looked like you were acquiring a bit more land or overtaking the bowling green or something. You had a soccer pitch style on the in the edge of the oval. Tell us about your redevelopment plans.
Yeah, so there's 4 parts to it, Roo. The first bit, which is actually the social club facility, has already started, which is really exciting. Ditz would know that facility really well. So that's underway at the moment. That'll incorporate a museum and an expanded retail, and then we're taking the Bob McLean Sports Bar upstairs to capitalise on the view out over Albert and Oval. So that's already underway, which is really exciting. And then the broader precinct, we've been really working really closely with council about how do we maximise the footprint at Alberton. But as I said earlier, it's not just about the Port Adelaide Footy Club and what we need for our teams. It's also, we think there's an exciting opportunity to bring in sort of broader community use. So we've been working closely with council, and there's sort of some basketball courts in there, which will help local junior basketball teams, and also, as you said, Roo, a soccer pitch. We haven't got room for 2 ovals at Alberton, so we need extra training space. We've got room for a soccer pitch on the reserve and the old croquet club out the back. So there's a soccer pitch there, which will be really important for our teams. But then, you know, you can imagine on the weekends and Saturday mornings, junior soccer teams using it. But also think about Women's World Cup in 2023, or where you could base one of those teams at Alberton, which would just be a fantastic facility to be able to use. So it's just about using the space at Alberton a little bit better and setting up a precinct that really sets our club up for the next sort of 10, 20, 30 years.
Richo, this is very, very clever. I think this all makes sense. One question, and this isn't meant to be a negative or a loaded question, but how do you get to 100,000 members? Where will those new members come from, do you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, it wouldn't be a stretch to say every member knows a Port fan who's not a member.
Yep.
So that's a good start. We went from 40,000 to 60,000 pretty quickly off the back of Adelaide Oval. We've plateaued a little bit. But also importantly, membership now isn't attached to going to games. So there's digital membership. There's, AFLW, as I said before, is really important. We've got to get into that market.
When's that going to happen, Richard?
Well, 2023 is the aim, Ditch. So obviously that's a conversation we've got going on with the AFL at the moment. But, you know, we think and you know, credit to Adelaide and the job that they've done there in supporting the growth of girls and women's sport. You go to every footy club around South Australia at the moment, the amount of growth with the new girls teams is enormous, and we just think that providing girls with another pathway through to the elite level is really important. And I reckon an AFLW showdown at Adelaide Oval in 2023 to kick things off would be a pretty amazing event, I'm sure.
Richo, as a Port Adelaide person, I absolutely love everything you're saying and the language coming out of Port Adelaide, the positivity and the goals that you're setting, mate. I think it sounds fantastic and it makes a lot of sense. And well done with all of it so far, and good luck carrying it out over the next 5 years.
Good on you, Dits. Really appreciate it and appreciate the time, Rick.
Good on you, Richard. Good on you, mate.
Matthew Richardson, Port Adelaide CEO. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo, we are about to get on one of the superstars who will be joining us this weekend at the Adelaide Oval. Now, talking Darryl Braithwaite, you know the biggest gig he ever played, don't you?
Yes, I've heard it all before.
Alice's 21st. Can you believe it? Let's get him on.
He must have been desperate. That's
Darryl
all I'll
Braithwaite,
say.
Welcome to Triple M.
Nice to be there as well.
Gee, Darren James must have done something unbelievable for you. Did he save your life or something to have to do a free gig at Alice's 21st?
It was out of the blue, I think. And Darren said, oh, mate, come on, it'll be really good. And then he talked a little bit like John Farnham, which he does, and that sold it for me. I said, okay, we'll be there.
Must be good to get back gigging again. Adelaide Oval, we got bands Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. You're going to be up there with John Stevens, Boom Crash Opera. You're looking forward to live gigs again?
Oh, most definitely. We did one live gig, our first one for many, many months last week at the Bowl here in Melbourne, and it was so good to be back just playing to an audience, and you can see, happiness, so yep. to speak. It's just, and I think they liked it as much as what we did. So, and Adelaide, well, looking forward to that as well, especially there at the Adelaide Oval. How good will that
Beautiful,
be?
Beautiful, yeah. Mm. Now, have you heard about the headline act? Have you heard about Tragedy, who are actually coming on first to ignite the whole thing?
Somebody told me a little bit about it, and I thought, what a great idea, and how good will that be?
Mm. It'd be big shoes to fill, though, yeah. Darryl. Oh, yeah. Like going on after AC/DC or something.
Yeah, no. Well, it's. I guess the only other thing we can do is just look at them and then walk away, and not play at all, if they're that good.
Yeah. Now, Darryl, we know each and every year you get to play. There's one song in particular that you've been playing a lot lately. At your gigs, what would be the go-to song? What is it that the crowd scream out for the most? Because let's face it, we go all the way back to Sherbet and there's Howzit. Yeah. There's so many great songs. Yeah. What do the crowd scream for?
Yeah. No, they more often than not, probably over the last decade, it's been a bit of a race between Howzit and the other one called mm-hmm. The Horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I'm a regular Cox Plate goer, yes. Darryl, so I've been prone to get up and sing with you.
Oh, and that, yeah, but it's quite amazing, that song, especially, as I was saying, The Horses. It's we have not played it except for once where we nearly got killed in Yarraville many, many years ago, about 15 years ago. And it was an accident. We couldn't hear them, sort of wanting an encore or something. So then they came to the dressing room and tore shreds off me.
Shivers. You're a quick learner then.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we haven't. Since then, we've played it every time. Good every gig. Yeah.
Do you do many Sherbet songs?
Yeah, we probably do three or four.
Yep.
Like the Howzit, Summer Love, You've Got the Gun, we play. And I think that's about it. Sometimes we put in A Matter of Time as well. But Howzit still resonates with people quite well. Which
well,
is
it's
great.
An Aussie anthem. It really is. There's no doubt about it. When you think of Men at Work Down Under and songs like that, even One Day in September, I reckon Howzit is in that group, isn't it? Aussies love to sing along to it.
Well, I guess so. I mean, it's how long ago? It's 1976.
Amazing.
Don't say
it. Yeah.
All right. Before, well, it's going to be a huge, huge weekend of rock at Adelaide Oval, but it's going to finish with an almighty bang with John Stevens, yourself, Darryl Braithwaite, and Boom Crash Opera. Darryl, look forward to seeing you Sunday at Adelaide Oval.
Well, we're looking forward to it immensely. And thank you for having us, Adelaide. It'll be amazing.
Good on you, Daryl. And tickets still available at Ticketek. And don't forget Tragedy, Roo, our band Tragedy.
Oh, I'm not going to forget about
that lineup as well. Good on you, Daryl.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There he is, Daryl Braithwaite. Roo, we've got a caller on the line. Let's say hello to Sam. Good morning, Sam.
G'day, Dits. How you going?
Good. What can we do for you?
Just calling up to see you doing the vote again.
Yep.
Actually called you last year and got a bit of cash off you.
How much did you win?
You won $2,000, didn't you?
$2,900.
Sam from Clemson.
Ah, the big jackpot we had.
The big jackpot, yeah.
Wow. Oh. Now, I hope you spent it wisely. What did you do with your $2,100?
I spent it very wisely. I bought an old boat and did it up. And, I was actually calling you from the slips the day I won the money.
From the where? From the casino?
From the slip.
Oh, the slip.
The slipway. Right.
So did you buy a little boat or, like, what'd you do?
I bought a big old boat, big rusty old boat. Needed a bit of a work. Mm-hmm. And, so I've done it all up and... it looks beautiful. It looked very beautiful once I finished it, yeah.
What do you mean, looked very beautiful?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the news lately, but...
No, that wasn't you. Not the one down on the breakwater.
Yeah, that was me.
Hang on. I saw this story. I was up the river. What happened?
I saw this story. Tell us about it, Sam.
So Australia Day, me and a few mates went out to... do a bit of fishing, have a little cruise along the Port River, and I'd just finished doing it up, so I wanted to show everyone the boat. And it got pretty windy at the end of the day and got a bit rough, and so we were heading into sort of 20, 25 knot winds. And we had to help out a couple of guys. They'd run out of petrol. Mm-hmm. And it might have got a bit of sand stuck in the engine, and sure enough, as we were passing the breakwater, we were going through this massive swell.
Yeah.
And, the engine cut out.
So what'd you do? You crashed up on the breakwater. Did you put a hole in it and sink or what?
It's currently sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
No!
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah. We got smashed up onto the rocks. It's called 000.
Oh, don't laugh, Ruth.
You should go fishing with Dits.
Oh, no.
I'm traumatised enough as it is, Roo.
Now, Sam,
I'm traumatised enough with that gun.
The last
Dits.
Pictures I saw, I was watching the news that night. It was hard up against the rocks. I thought you'd just left it there. So since then, it's just gone down, has it?
So what happened, because it was a bit of a king tide that day. We got smashed up on there and... we actually had to jump into the water and the rescue divers had to come out and pull us out.
Joking.
Pretty scary stuff, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The choppers everywhere, rescue boats couldn't get to us. The salvage team tried to pull it off and it broke in half as they pulled it off.
This is the state's biggest rescue
are
mission,
you,
this is.
Sensing in the... insurance?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you have it insured with B Frank Insurance or not?
RAA.
RAA.
So they are looking after you?
Yeah, they've been very good, yeah. Unfortunately, I only had insured for the price I paid for it, not the...
Oh, no. Oh, well. It, all right. Oh, well, thanks for ringing and giving us an update. And I think definitely you and Ditch should go out on a fishing trip sometime. That would be a nightmare, I'm sure. But
I'll give you some tips.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. All right. Good on you, Sam.
Thanks for ringing in with the update.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Anyone got any other stories like that, Roo? What's something expensive that you've absolutely botched? Written off Dad's car.
You could be on this segment.
How?
Well, you reversed into a bloody pole the other day in your boat.
Yeah, fair point. That was a channel marker.
And we'll give it another couple of months. You might have a few more stories. Broken something new? When have you bought something you actually probably not qualified to drive or ride or anything like that?
Just spoke to a young lad, Sam, who won the big jackpot last year, $2,000, and bought a boat and ended up on 7 News.
Sam Dubois and two mates were trying to help out stranded boaties when their own vessel washed up on rocks on Tuesday afternoon.
The engine cut out right at the wrong point, and the waves were twice the size of the boat at the time.
Tragically, the yacht could now be a write-off after Sam had just spent thousands of dollars restoring it.
Sure is a write-off. It's on the bottom of the ocean. But so it was a true story there from Sam. We're taking calls right now on when you've bought something you're not capable of driving or when you've crashed something. Let's go to Greenock. G'day, Andrew.
How you going, mate?
Good, Andrew. What have you done?
Yeah, mid-80s, I had a Cortina Mark II.
Yeah,
nice.
And I just got my driver's license, just got my learners. Within half an hour of getting my learners, wrote it off.
Oh, how did you write it off?
Well, the guy that hit me, he got his license about half an hour before I did.
Oh, no.
He was one of my mates from school as well.
Oh, no. Gee, that would break your heart, Andrew, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, me and the old man spent a fair bit of time doing it up. Put a new motor in it, painted it, crushed velvet doors, all the work back then.
Gee.
I've told you the story. I had a VHSLE, you know, those Commodores.
Yep.
V8. I wrote it off after a month.
You wrote it off?
How much would that be worth? They're worth probably 50 now.
So what happened?
A little head on.
How do you have a head on?
We were doing water skiing in year 12 at Wake Creek. Get a load of that for starters. Yeah. That was our subject, water skiing. Yeah. And we're going down as soon as school finishes to do a lesson.
Yeah.
And bloke was coming up the other way and just accidentally.
Who was on the wrong side of the road, Roo?
We both might have been. Anyway, let's move on. 1-3-3-5-3, when have you crashed your car or anything you've bought?
Oh, writing off expensive toys. The fella that won the jackpot last year on the Woat, $2,000, rang us earlier this morning, just a minute ago, yep. Sam. And his new yacht that he bought with the $2,000 sitting at the bottom of the ocean down at Outer Harbour.
Yep. Now a good spot to catch snapper. Let's go to Athelstan. G'day, Alf.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you? All right? Yeah.
What have you done in?
Oh, my wife's not too impressed. About 20 years ago, she bought me a Ryobi whippersnapper, brand new.
Yeah.
Out there for half an hour, zip, zip, nothing, wouldn't start. Primed it, wouldn't start. So, you know what? I threw it over the fence. Went and collected it. She was spewing at me.
I got it back.
It was all crazy.
Playing up like a second-hand whippersnapper.
I didn't want another one. It's a Flyobi, not a Ryobi.
Flyobi.
Anyway.
I don't think many people haven't thrown a whippersnapper.
They are frustrated.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's go to Windvale. G'day, Leanne. Hello, Leanne. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. My car broke down when I was driving, having a little leisurely Sunday afternoon drive.
Yep.
So I had to call a tow truck. So I did that after I went to the pub, and the tow truck skull dragged my car up onto the tow truck, and then as it was going flat, the tow rope broke, and my car rolled off the end of the tow truck, nosedived, then hit the tow truck, bounced on the ground, and then rolled into two Harley Davidsons.
Oh, you got the jackpot.
No, Leanne. What happened? Did you get insurance?
Currently in being looked at. Only happened on Sunday.
Oh, it's only just happened.
Sunday.
Oh, no.
Just happened.
So my
husband was in hospital, so I rang my brother and asked him if he could ring him and tell him because I didn't want to.
Were the two Harley drivers sitting there?
They were present, yes. Oh. And not happy campers.
No, because they love their Harleys there. Yeah.
They do.
Pride and joy. Mm. All right. What sort of car is it, Leanne?
It's an SUV.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's an Everest.
All right, an Everest, yep. Good stuff. All right, let's go to Paradise. G'day, Gary.
Morning, boys. How you going?
What's your story, Gaz? What have you damaged?
Got the double whammy, boys. Ooh. I thought I was a bit clever. A mate of mine bought a brand-new jet ski, went down to Aldinga, and there he was with his dad's brand-new boat.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be a bit of a superstar going past the boat all the time, showing off, being a bit of a... bit of a wally, and decided that my skills weren't that great, and it crashed the jet ski straight in the side of Dad's boat, did about $80,000 for the damage.
Gary, inexperienced jet skiers, they scare me.
Geez, they're quick too.
Oh, they're very powerful.
Jet skis are powerful.
You don't even need to know. I don't even think you need a license, do you?
No.
For them? Let's go to Mount Compass. G'day, Paul.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. What have you had an accident with?
Well, it wasn't me. It was my partner. She's living in Shiro Park, and their house was a fairly steep driveway. Anyway, she parked the car and got out, and the car started to roll, so she tried to jump back in and grab the handbrake or park or whatever it was, and realised she wasn't going to be able to stop the car. So she bailed out of the car and ran herself over with the door.
The
car proceeded to go down the driveway, and the house on the other side of the road was set down off the road. Car ended up going through the roof of the house and hanging out the back wall of the house.
Oh, how would you be?
That's probably $100,000+ worth of damage.
Unbelievable.
Let's go to Gawler. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, how you going, Ruin Dits?
What have you damaged?
Well, when I was about 15, and my father had an old BSA Bantam 125 he used to ride to work.
What's that, a motorbike?
Yeah, it's a real old, it's like a World War II bike. It's just a little old bike, and they have a little tickler on the carby, and I was messing around with this lighter one day, and I was getting a bit of fuel out of it, and I actually set it on fire.
You're messing around with a lighter near a carby that had petrol in it.
Yeah, and I set it on fire, and I wasn't, the old man wasn't too happy with me.
Well, he wouldn't have been, Steve, and nor he should have been. Dits, right. We've got some good people there. Who do you want to send off to the...
Well, Leanne from Windvale, who on the weekend, she needs a bit of luck. She needs to take her husband out for a night out at Adelaide Oval, go to a concert. Leanne, you can have first pick because you've got Friday, Angels and Chocolate Starfish. You've got Saturday, Zep Boys Masters Apprentices. Sunday, John Stevens, Daryl Braithwaite, Boom Crash Opera. I reckon Paul from Mount Compass. And the last one there, Steve, as well. So Paul second, Steve third. You get your choice to go along. And if anyone else wants to go, there are tickets at Ticket Tech. Thursday morning, another scorcher today, 38 in town. A fair bit of news around, Roo. The vaccine's going to start here on Monday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. 12,000 people, the frontline workers, the most important people, are going to get the jab over the next 3 weeks. So that is great news.
Yeah, so people working at the airport, our health workers.
Medi-hotels.
Yep, quarantine workers as well. Hey, what's the Facebook story this morning?
Facebook have decided not to do what Google did. Google paid Channel 7 to be able to use their stories. Facebook have done the opposite of that. They've said, well, if you want us to pay, we're actually not going to share your news. So they've said, stick it. And that will hurt a lot of businesses who like to use Facebook. Yeah. We'll get more details on that over the coming days, but that's a backflip.
Dez's minibus and Dez's cabs. Let Dez take you to your destination. Nice one, Dez. Call Dez on 133377. DezMinibus.com.au.
On 104.7 Triple M.
I don't even know what we play.
Get ready for the WOTE, the worst of all time.
Phones are already going off.
They're going off because $800 is on the line. They know about WOTE. WOTE is the worst of all time. Dits is on the guitar. Oh, Dits is on the mouth organ, I should say. The harmonica. Alice is on the guitar. Mm. Mel's on the saxophone. And I'm on the bongo drums. It's a band called Tragedy. We're opening up for Daryl Braithwaite and John Stevens at Adelaide Oval on Sunday night. Can you believe that? $800 up for grabs right now.
Let's have a listen. All right, it's not Bebopalula.
No,
right?
It's not.
For the 1,000,000th
or
time.
Or the Piano Man.
Or the Piano Man.
I'll give you that.
Give us a ring. 133353. You could win $800 thanks to Dez's minibuses, Dez's cabs. Talking about the WOTE, how much is it worth, Roo?
$800. Dits is on the mouth organ. Mel's on the sax. Alice is on the guitar. And I'm on the bongo drums. We're called Tragedy.
This is one of your best efforts, actually, because the bongos really feature in this.
Yeah. I actually knew what I was playing.
Some might beg to differ.
Okay, let's head down to Woodville. G'day, Jake.
How you going, guys?
Hey, I've heard the pizza bar's back open down there. Is that right?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to steer clear for now just to be safe, though. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Going for a COVID pizza.
Only close the state down. Give him another go.
Yeah, come on. Sorry, boys.
What's the song, Jake?
I'm thinking it's Dream Police by Cheap Trick.
Yeah, good song. They're touring too.
For $800?
Sorry, mate.
Let's head down to Sturt. G'day, Brandon.
G'day, mate.
You confident?
Oh, so-and-so.
Do you want to hear it again?
No, thanks.
Okay.
Bloody hell, Brandon.
All right, $800. What do you think it is?
I reckon it's Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I love this song. Yeah. Led Zeppelin. Could we tackle something that big? No, we can't.
Wow.
Sorry, Brandon. Last guest for the day. Let's head out to Parafield Gardens. G'day, Taylor.
Good morning. How you going?
Good. Do you think you know what the song is?
Oh, I've got a guess whether it's right or not.
Okay.
Right. Pleased to Meet You by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, the Rolling Stones.
Sympathy for the Devil. Oh, sorry, Taylor.
Bad luck, Taylor.
We are edging towards a grand. It's $900 tomorrow.
$900 cash tomorrow. So make sure you join us tomorrow morning for the vote for $900.
Yep, ruined. It's on Triple M.
Angels up next.
Triple M. Ladies. Delving deep inside the mystery and wonder of the female mind.
The women run the country.
It's ruined. It's Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Its.
That was very good. Batesy's on the phone.
No. I don't reckon she sung that.
She's worked it out. I did do it.
Okay.
I did.
That's all a lie, Batesy.
Batesy's one of our executives in the sales department.
So sassy this morning.
Big weekend for Batesy.
What's happening?
Engagement party, I've heard on the grapevine. Is that right, Batesy?
We have our engagement party this weekend.
You and the war hero, Peter?
Yep.
Right. How long have you been together now?
A bit over 4 years.
Yeah.
Has he had anything to do with organising the engagement show?
Nothing.
Of course
and
not.
Then when I ask him to do one thing, he acts like he's organised the entire thing.
Oh, you sound like a nagging wife already.
That sounds like a typical
bloody
man.
Bloody hell. Anyway, we've got Alice the Wag as usual.
Good morning.
She's part of the furniture. And we've got a rookie off the bench. Bella. Hello, Bella.
Hello.
You've been in before, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah. Yep.
Now,
yep.
Bella, I just want to say to you, congratulations. I just saw on LinkedIn the other day you got your degree.
Yes.
So whilst working here, you've studied as well.
Yes, I have.
Good on you.
Thank you.
What's the degree in?
Educational studies.
Right. We could learn a thing or two from you.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a teacher, are you?
No.
A chalky. What are you going to be?
So it means I didn't do the teaching prax.
So what are you going to... So is this one of those degrees that's worthless then? Is this
I think so.
So you're going to study
bit,
for the rest of your life?
I think so.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck.
Anyway. What's the topic, Roo?
I've seen a lot of stuff with girls wearing funny bikinis at the moment. They're calling them upside down bikinis. I thought it was a bit of a joke.
What do you mean? They wear the bottoms on the top and the top
on
the bottom?
No, they just wear the tops just looks like it's sort of on the top part of the boob, I think.
Do you need me to explain it?
Oh, can you?
So when you're wearing two triangles over your boobs, the bit that would normally go around your neck goes around the bottom of the boobs and around your waist. And then the bit that normally goes around your waist goes around your neck. So it just means they're like...
Upside down
and provide a bit less coverage and you get a bit of side boob.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. They look
Why
a bit
are you
weird.
Screwing your nose up,
They
Roo?
Look a bit weird.
Right.
But everyone's wearing them.
All right. Do you want to get a second opinion on that?
You can have a little gaze in the bed break and see what you think.
I've just had a look. This is interesting.
All right. What do you think, Batesy? Do you think these are good fashion or are they very short term, do you think?
I think it's going to be a bit of a fad. I just can't see it maintained long term, and just like the tan lines would be so strange. I'm definitely not into it.
What color are yours?
Mine are black,
right?
Staple hides a million sins, and then I have like a green pair, and that's it.
And a green pair, all right. Alice, are you into these?
They're okay. I wouldn't judge anyone for wearing them, but personally, I wouldn't wear them.
All right, if you see them online, seriously, most
is
of the boobs hanging out. Yeah,
I think
but most of the boob is hanging out, isn't it, Roo?
Without getting too graphic, they look really good if you've got fake boobs because there's not much support. They kind of sit sideways, and so fake boobs stand up. I'm just standing here grabbing my boobs as I talk.
We're getting a demonstration.
Fake boobs sit up, so they like you don't need any support, whereas natural boobs naturally kind of fall a little bit.
Right.
So you need that tie around the bottom of them to keep them zhuzhed.
You need the wire.
Yeah. No, not even a wire, just like you need the... It's just a gravity thing.
The uplifting, yep. All right, Bella, you into this new fashion?
Look, not into it for me, but I feel like it's an influencer thing. Like you need to have an influencer body to be able to pull it off almost.
Right. So also with G-strings, like, let's face it, Roo, it's how little can I wear as a female these days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And is that how you want to be on the beach, Alice?
Well, I was at Brighton the other day and I saw a mum who was annoying and she was yelling at this really hot girl who had a G-string on and she was in the shower. And the mum was like, this is inappropriate for my son to be looking at and you should cover up your butt cheeks. And
what
it was so awkward. He had his eyes out. No, but he was like five, you know. He's just,
I wouldn't know.
And the mum was just ripping her to shreds.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It was really sad. And I felt really bad for her. So after that, I've gone, do you know what? If she wants to have her butt cheeks out at the gym, At the, oh God,
beach, I've got the beach. On my mind. Yeah, you have got the gym on your mind. Don't worry about it. We know why. We won't say just yet, ladies and gentlemen.
Could
be something happening at the gym.
What's his name at the gym?
Stop.
I don't know. Yeah. But
if you want to have your butt cheeks out at the beach, go for it if you've got good butt cheeks.
Right. You agree, Batesy?
I totally agree. If you've got it, flaunt it.
Righto. Bella?
Yeah, I third that. If you've got it, flaunt it.
All right. Thanks, Angels.
Thank you. Oh, no. This is awful.